In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The readings given to us on this Septuagesima Sunday are indeed appropriate for us as we begin this pre-preparation for our Lenten journey, our Lenten retreat. But there are some hard things that the Lord has said to us in sacred scripture, and it might be easy to gloss over them because they're not the normal hard things that people have a difficult time with. But they are difficult nonetheless. Both St. Paul in his exhortation to the Corinthians and our Lord at the end of the gospel remind us that many are called, but few are chosen. So let me disabuse you of what it is you might believe, that you can do what you want, when you want, how you want, and you'll be able to blithely and easily walk into heaven. Simply because your auntie or your uncle or your grandmother or your brother or your sister was a good guy does not mean that they blithely walked into heaven. Many are called, but not everybody gets through the gate. Not because God is capricious, willy-nilly, as to who he lets in and who he doesn't let in. But there is so much more that needs to be done than just simply showing up. There's a whole way of being and living that must be incorporated in every aspect of our lives if we want to enjoy the fruits of everlasting life. But if you have grown up in a society and culture such as ours, that everyone gets a gold star, both the one who got an A and the one who got an F, if everybody gets a prize, even the one who came in last 5, 6, 7, 8 hours after everybody else ran the race, let's give him a prize too. Everybody gets a job, everybody gets money, everybody gets everything. And God forbid you don't get what you think you deserve, although one wonders why you think you actually deserve it. And then we understand how we've arrived at that point because we've all been convinced that we're special. We're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we have Facebook pages. And we post all sorts of manner of things about our lives, believing that somehow they're interesting. And of course, people manage to monetize this, and so we think we can do the same. And then we begin to apply this same reality to God, as if somehow God exists for us. And God will not be complete. His heavens will not be closed until I actually get there. Well, I hate to break it to you, but not only may you not get there, which is really hard to hear, not quite so hard to say, but hard to hear, but the gates may already be closed. Now, I'm not saying we're spinning our wheels here, but simply God has told us what we need to do. And that's the only thing about which we need to be concerned. What we need to do to be in relationship with God. Because here's the simple, clearest fact. God does not need us. He wants us. He desires us. But he does not need us. Therefore, the gates of heaven, as they remain open, will do so according to his divine providence, his mercy, and his love, not waiting for you to get your act together. And so if the end times were to come today, would you actually be prepared and ready? Or are you under the impression that it won't happen until I am actually ready to cross into glory? Because if you wait until that particular moment, when it actually comes, you will not be ready and prepared. And of course, oftentimes our disposition is the same as these who began work early and received the same pay. We murmur and complain against God. And I love the Lord as he teaches us because I can hear him saying this. And of course, we might be inclined to say the same thing. Look, it's my money. I can do whatever I want with it. So who are you to be upset because I told you what you were going to get? I gave you what you got. Now you need to be on your way. But they weren't satisfied. They saw others getting the same, and so they anticipated because they had done more that they would actually get more. But they did exactly what they were required to do. Now, why is this significant for us? Because we're going to use these 3 weeks leading to Ash Wednesday to think about, to ponder what sacrifices we are going to make for our Lenten journey. And if you are under the impression that if you take on more sacrifices than your neighbor, although one would wonder how they would know what yours are and how you would know what theirs are. But let's assume for the sake of argument, everybody's publicizing what they're doing for the Lenten season on some type of message board. And you're doing more than anybody else, that you're going to be the first one through the gate. You might be the first one through the gate.
and all those who did less than you, and maybe even some who didn't do anything at all, they also might go through the gate. Oh, but that seems unfair. Then I did all this work. Don't I get a guarantee of a special place in heaven? Someplace unique in particular for me? A bigger room in the mansion that God has prepared for us. When in truth our disposition should be, I'd be content to be in the bathroom in heaven, to sleep in the broom closet in heaven, just as long as I am in heaven. Let's be clear. God does not need us. We need him. God does not exist for us to pat us on our heads and to make us feel good about ourselves and to reward us every single step along the way. We exist for God. And God has made very clear through the mystery of his Son that at the heart of this relationship is the mystery of his cross and the sacrifices that are attending to it. And so we take up sacrifice and do so more intently in our Lenten season, not because I will be rewarded for the things that I sacrifice, but because in sacrificing, I am in the very relationship that gives meaning to my existence, who I am and what it is that I ought to be. If I seem slightly more agitated than I normally do, it's because in large measure, oftentimes, a lion's share of my life is helping other people manage their unrealistic expectations. All of us, all of you, but I'll include myself in that. We were told in the seminary never to point fingers. It's us, not me, against you. So I'll include myself. Oftentimes, we think we are owed things. We think we deserve things. We think we're special. Well, you might be to your kids and your families and your spouses and to all the people. That may be true, but you know what? In the grand scheme of things, you're really not that special. And the difficulties that you're enduring in your life really aren't that different than the difficulties that other people are enduring. I say this not to be mean or cruel. I'm not poking fun at you because you know what? I'm not special either. And so when I start moaning and complaining about my life, why don't I have this or why don't I get that? Where does that come from? Why do I think I deserve anything? I should be getting anything, that my life should be different than anyone else's. Because I went into the field early. I got up early in the morning to go do my work. And therefore, because I was a good soldier, I was obedient and I worked hard, I should get more. But God didn't say that. He said he would give me that which I need, not more. Certainly not in reward, in quid pro quo, because again, the truth is, I need him desperately. He, not so much. So what does this do in our pre-Lenten journey? Is to ask yourself, truly, what sacrifices are you going to undertake to better prepare yourself for the mysteries of the cross? What prayers will you increase? What almsgiving will you put forth? All of this to strengthen the relationship that you share with God in Christ, that in the fullness of time you may be at the foot of the cross in order to enjoy the glories of everlasting life. But these weeks are given to us so that the decisions that we make may be concrete and real, so that then we might have success in what it is that we undertake. God forbid we make promises to the Lord and then never actually fulfill them. In one sense, it might have been better that we not made the promise at all. So use these weeks wisely to realize first and foremost that you are in desperate need of relationship with God. Apart from him, you are nothing. With him, you can do great and glorious things. And then understanding the nature of this relationship and the way that it is properly ordered, to what will you commit yourself in order that this relationship that you properly understand, have properly situated, may truly bear fruit and real in your life. Indeed, the Lord says, many are called. It's all of us here in prayer. Very few are chosen. It is God's desire, as he himself has made clear, that we all be chosen. But it comes with a cost, already paid by our Lord by the shedding of his blood. But we are now asked to participate in sharing the cost, entering in to the cost. And so indeed, the Lord wants you with him. He desires that you be with him now and in the life to come. But make no mistakes. This is not something you deserve. And in truth, it really isn't something that you actually earn. All the things that you undertake, all the sacrifices you will endure, you're doing out of love for him, knowing how much it is that he has loved you and all the blessings that he will bestow upon you. Be mindful of who he is. Be mindful of who you are. And then spend time in his presence, resolving to live in such a way that through a life of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, you may be one of his chosen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.